family, and welcome to Kingwood Methodist. In John 4:23, Jesus states that a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. As we gather at church and open God's Word, we are not just coming together for the sake of gathering, but also to learn the truth of God and how we can grow to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. As we continually surrender our lives to the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become the type of worshipers our Heavenly Father seeks. Let's dive in together.
Well, church, happy Easter. I'm going to say Christ is risen, and then you respond with He is risen indeed. You ready? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Well played. Well played. This fact, this truth, is central to who we are as followers of Christ, as Christians. This is the bedrock of our faith. It's the foundation of who we are. From the very beginning, this reality, this truth, changed the course of history forever. It took a group of shy followers of Jesus who were scared and terrified when Jesus died to a group of disciple makers, a powerful movement of Christ that began to spread all across the Eastern world. This scared group of individuals, of followers, became bold evangelists and disciple makers, missionaries, and even martyrs to their death, church planters and world changers, because they understood the reality that this Christ, that what they saw and walked with and followed, they saw Him die, they saw Him breathe His last breath, and then after 3 days, He rose from the dead, did the unthinkable, and it changed the way that they viewed the world around them. Friends, Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. So today, I want to lead us through the text a little bit. And I believe that Luke leads us into two different perspectives that we might have through this text. One perspective on the front side of the grave, and another perspective, another way in which we view the world after the resurrection. And so as we dive into the Word of God, I ask two questions. Are you waiting for the kingdom of God, or are you seeking the kingdom of God? Are you waiting for the kingdom of God, or are you seeking the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you open up the Word of God to us? Would you enlighten our lives to the truth of the resurrection? God, would it mold us, shape us, transform us? May it be the very thing that moves us into the world and in ways that change the world, that move us into the world in ways that glorify your kingdom, that bring your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, as we open the Word, would it be a window into our souls. God, would it pierce the hard exterior, the objections? Would it pierce our doubts? And would it meet us? Would it meet us in the midst of our seeking? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, oh, come on. And all God's people said,
amen.
Much better, much better. My grandma, everybody loves a good grandma story, right? My grandma was one of the sweetest ladies in the world. I remember her most in her old age. She was not as mobile, not as active as she once was as a younger mom. But I just remember this, the way that she always used to talk about the things that she had seen in life. I mean, she went through the Great Depression and then saw televisions invented and internet and cell phones and What she experienced was mind-blowing to most of us. I remember asking her to upload a picture and email it to me, and it was like you asked her to put a man on the moon. Right? The shock of all that she had experienced in life, the perspective that she had on the world came from so much experience. It led her to be so fascinated by the things that she saw in the 24-hour news cycle. I mean, it changed everything. So she would watch the news and she would get terrified at some of the things that were happening in the world, disgusted by the things that she saw on the news. There's two really distinct memories that I have of my grandma. One, that she loved to give gifts to her kids. She always came over to our house for Christmas and she would always give, she loved, that was like her favorite part, was to give gifts at Christmas. But she always gave gifts out of her Depression era mentality. So she'd give us used towels or maybe my favorite gift that she ever gave was, she gave Valentine's from the year before that she had found on sale because, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up soon. And so she loved to give gifts, but we, as her grandkids, never aged past the age of 5 in her mind. The second image that I have of her is when we would go to her house, she would always be in her chair or on the couch listening to Rush Limbaugh and or watching her favorite news syndicate. I don't think I have to tell you which one it was, right? But I remember she would watch the news and then she would always say this line. It seemed like it always came out of her mouth. It was always on the tip of her tongue. She would say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come already." As if she was hoping and waiting for God to come and fix all of the brokenness in the world. We've all said it, haven't we? "Come, Lord Jesus, just fix this thing. The world we live in is so broken. You don't have to flip too far or scroll too far on your phone to figure out that we live in a broken, corrupt, and divisive world. Even in our backyard, the number of high school students who report that they have considered ending their lives because life is just too stressful. The human trafficking that we see on a regular basis, the political division, the ugliness on Facebook, the violence, the wars, come, Lord Jesus, come." In our text today, Luke is laying out two different perspectives of the world. And I believe that you and I find ourselves in one or the other. In verse 50 in chapter 23, Jesus has just been crucified by the Jewish people have called out and declared, "Crucify him, crucify him." The very one who they had declared, save us the week before. And now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision or action. He was not on the side of all of the other Jews. He didn't buy into all of this. He wanted so deeply for the kingdom of God to come through this man. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea. And hear these words. He himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Was waiting. In the Greek, they call this the imperfect tense. Not past tense, like I was waiting and now I'm not anymore. The imperfect tense, which means I was waiting and I'm continuing to wait. An ongoing sense of waiting. An overwhelming desire to wait. To continue waiting. And now, in his waiting, he carries the lifeless body of the kingdom of heaven. The thing that he had hoped so much for all of his life And now his waiting, his hopes, his dreams have been dashed, obliterated, crushed, killed. Friends, this is our faith without resurrection. Without resurrection, we have a kingdom without a king. There's no point. If not for the resurrection, if Christ did not raise, then there's no point in this existence that we live in. There is religion still. Without a king, without a risen Savior, we can still do church. We can still do religion. We can still have morality. We can still be good people. We can even have faith. We can have community. But without a risen king, there is no power in this thing that we call following Christ. There's no power to heal, no power to restore, no power to transform our lives from one state to the next, no freedom from addiction or the sin that so easily entangles us. If death has the final word, if there's nothing more than this material world, this existence that we live in, this day in and day out grind, then what is the point? What are we waiting for? Without the resurrection, I contest, my friends, that there is no point. But we see on this side of the tomb, on this side of our understanding of what Christ did for us when he died on the cross and then resurrected on the third day, we see a different understanding because we know and understand that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. So Luke points out a second perspective on the other side of the tomb. In chapter 24, he begins with the women coming to the tomb early in the morning. The women, they took the spices that they had prepared and they went to the tomb. If you don't have your Bibles, in the very back, there's the scripture reading. If you want to follow along, feel free. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning. Can you imagine seeing that? They stood beside them, and in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." The Greek translation is best understood as, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Why do you seek after the living among the dead? The only other place that Luke writes that phrase, "seek ye," it's kind of like a hyperlink back to this image of the kingdom of heaven. In Luke chapter 12, he says, "But seek his kingdom, seek ye the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom of heaven." Seek ye is a present active tense in the Greek, which means that it's right now and continually happening. It's a right now and it's a movement on our part. It is active in our nature. We are called to seek right now and actively. Friends, are you fearfully and passively waiting for the kingdom of God, or are you actively seeking it? What's the posture of your heart today? Are you fearfully and passively waiting for the kingdom of God, or are you actively seeking it, pursuing it? I would contest that the difference between these two postures is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between an active, life-giving faith and a dead and powerless faith. for the church. It's the difference between a vibrant, world-changing movement of the body of Christ and a country club built for socio-political gain. A passive faith says, I'm going to live my life and someday, God will come and just fix it all. A seeking faith says, I have a role to play in seeing the kingdom of God right here and right now. That God desires to use me and my giftings and the giftings that he gave to me to heal the world around me, to heal my family, to heal my community. One says, heaven is for when I die. The other says, I can see a glimpse of the eternal right here and right now. As I look and understand and experience the joy, the peace that passes understanding, the freedom of heaven right here in the midst of a broken world. As I seek his presence, as I seek his power, as I seek his way of the way that he leads me and guides me in my daily walk with him. But let's be honest, y'all. Some of us struggle with that. We enter into a place like this with doubts about this whole church thing. And that's okay. God is big enough to handle your doubts. God is big enough to handle your questions. God is big enough to handle your frustrations, your anger with him for past experience. But a lot of us walk into this place saying, I kind of like my lazy Sunday mornings. I don't know if I get the value of this whole church thing that people do. I'm here, but I don't know if I get it. Or if we're being honest, I don't even know if I understand or believe this whole Jesus thing. I was at Starbucks this morning getting coffee for the band, and I said, Happy Easter to the people as I was about to leave. And they looked at me with blank stares and they said, you have a good day too. There's a world around us that needs Jesus. That doesn't get this whole church thing, this whole Jesus thing. It feels like it's kind of a lot. And they kind of sit back, we kind of sit back, just waiting for it to click. Like some of the people in this space, we just want it, maybe it'll click. Well, friends, if we're waiting for it to click, it probably never will. You see, life changes when you actively seek the kingdom of God. Bear with me. If there is a God, if there is a God who made you, who knows you better than you could ever know yourself, who knows all of your flaws, all of your weaknesses, all of your strengths, all the good that you've done and all the bad, who desperately desires to be in relationship with you, who desperately desires to unlock the fullness of life that he has created you for, unlock the potential, the gifts that you have in your spirit. Unlock the fullness of joy and the fullness of peace, the fullness of the presence of God in you. Wouldn't you want to get a glimpse of that plan? At least a glimpse enough to where you could decide for yourself whether I want to accept this thing or not. Because that same God said, when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. If you want joy, if you want peace, if you want freedom in a world that is actively trying to pull you down, stop saying, come, Lord Jesus, when you see brokenness. And begin asking the question, God, what is my role in the midst of the brokenness? What is it that you desire to do through me and in me? Friends, that's who we are at Kingwood Methodist Church. We are a community of faith devoted to actively seeking Jesus together, that we might experience heaven right here and right now, so that the kingdom of God might transform the world around us, the community around us. We are not content just sitting back and watching the world burn down around us. We pray and we seek after God and say, "Come, Lord Jesus." My grandma, though she said, "Come, Lord Jesus," seemingly waiting, she was not a waiter. My grandma was a seeker. She saw all of the brokenness in the world. And she knew that there was nothing her old and feeble body could get out and do to change the world. And so she prayed. She spent more time on her knees before God praying for things in the world to change. She spent more time with the Bible open, reading and meditating on the Word of God. She sought after the Lord with all that she had. And I truly believe that she made a greater difference in the world, enacted greater change in the world than all of my action will do. Friends, we are a praying church. She knew that "Come, Lord Jesus" was not just about the great hallelujah at the end of her life, that "Come, Lord Jesus" was for right now and for today. Because we serve a risen Savior. A risen Savior that is alive and active, moving and stirring amongst us, strengthening us and empowering us, calling us and leading us, church. So come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, now and fill my heart, God. Fill my life. Break these chains. Bind these wounds. Open my eyes, God. Give life to these bones. Give breath to these lungs. Give purpose to my breath. Restore me. Renew me. Heal me, God, and transform me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Church, I want to close today with this. This last week was my wife's birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old she is. But we both got a little gray hair coming in. This was a busy week for me, being Holy Week, and services on Thursday, and services on Friday, and then services here, and then seminary in the middle of it, and she got the short end of the stick when it comes to a birthday. And so I had this moment where I was able to sneak out during lunch and buy some flowers for my wife on her birthday. And I bought the flowers and went back to work and started doing some more work to get ready for things. And at the end of work, I was planning to bring these flowers home, and I realized that I had left them in the car the whole day. And these flowers were so pathetic looking. I mean, they were shriveled and weary and bent over, and they were a sad image of my love for her. And so I brought these things home, and I'm like, what do I do? I don't have time to go out and get new ones. So I got a vase, and I cut the ends. I YouTubed it, figured out how to do that. And then I got these flowers into the vase, and I was like, you know what? It's going to be funny. We're just going to laugh about this. This is, yeah, whatever. Something miraculous began to happen. Didn't expect it. But as these flowers began to soak up the water, they began to come alive again. They began to almost resurrect. The stems began to gain a stiffness to them and begin to stand up a little bit. They began the color started to come back into the petals. They were still a little bit shriveled, but less shriveled than they were before. Friends, maybe that's you today. Maybe you entered this park feeling the weight of the world. the heat of the car. You felt parched and withering, desperately waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to change in your life, waiting for something to shift in your world. Maybe even it all kind of looks good from the outside, and the people around you, the people that you came to this space with, have no idea what's going on. They don't have any idea the weariness of your soul. But friends, just by stepping into this space is a first step in seeking after God. To moving from being a people of waiting on God to a people seeking after God. Simply by listening and having an open heart to the Word of God, you are making steps towards seeking God. And God will be faithful to meet you in the middle of that. The living water, as our stem gets dipped into the living water, turns out this God, this Jesus guy, knows a little bit about resurrection. He knows a little bit about what it means to bring us back to life, to bring us back to health, to bring us back to a new understanding of reality, to a new perspective on the world. Come, Lord Jesus, now. Friends, let's lean in together. Let us seek after the kingdom of God together. As Luke 12 says, he is pleased. He's pleased to give us the kingdom of God when we seek him. And with the kingdom of God comes joy and peace, comes life and life abundant. Church, would you join us? This Kingwood Methodist Church, a community of seekers in this journey of faith. Holy Spirit, pour out your presence on us this day. God, would you mold us, shape us, and transform us? Friends, I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I want to ask you not to just be waiters, not to just be listeners to this prayer, because I'm not going to say a whole lot. I'm going to ask you to be seekers, to be participants, to practice this idea of seeking after God. Friends, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to enter into the presence of God. Imagine yourself stepping foot into God's throne room. As you close your eyes, what is the image that God has placed in your head? Maybe it's the image of a flower, or the image of water, the image of the empty tomb, or a friend, a loved one. What's the image that God puts before you today? When you have it, I want you to hold on to that image. Friends, would you ask the living Jesus what he wants to do with that image? God, what do you want to do with that image? You may not receive an answer in this moment, but I ask you to write down that image and that question, to come back to it, to meditate on that. And finally, to ask the question, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do with me today? With the posture and position of my heart, how do you want to lead me? God, would you move us today from waiters to seekers? God, would you enliven us and empower us? Would you mold us and shape us? Would you move us to a new place? God, would you shape us? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. As we come to the table of Christ, as we take communion together, we are seeking after God. The body and the blood of Christ. John Wesley believed that this was not just an after-worship snack, that this was an actual encounter with the living God, that he takes this really common act of eating and drinking, and he meets us in the middle of it with the presence of the Holy Spirit. John Wesley believed that this was a sanctifying act, that it was a sustaining act, that it empowered us in the Christian life. And so as we receive today the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, would our steps towards communion today be a pursuit of God? Friends, this is the body of Christ that is broken for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. He took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." As he raised it and he gave thanks. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's grace and his forgiveness is for you because he loves you, because he called you to him. So come, Holy Spirit, and pour out your presence on these common elements of bread and cup, and would you make them for us, the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood, so that we might be the body of Christ to the world. So we might be ministers of reconciliation to the world, that we might draw others back to your peace, to your love, to your joy for their lives, so that they might experience the fullness of life in you. God, we honor you above all else in this time. Would you lead us to seek you? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.